You know, it's so easy when you get a sponsor for the show and you use their services. And I do. It's Karen Locker's Solutions for E-Commerce. Solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum will get you 10% off right now. I've been using her for, I guess it's been a year and change since I first interviewed her. Hired her pretty much right after the show because I'm like, I need everything you're talking about. I've got problems with stranded inventory. And guess what? I had lots of problems with stranded inventory last year as the restrictions were coming through. Boom, she'd fix it. If there's an issue with the photo, fixed. All that kind of stuff. I get refunds now. They just show up. Hey, you know, we're replying to your cases. Here's your refund. My feedback. I don't have to fix my own feedback anymore. It's automatically done. And I see the notes coming through. I still once in a while get an email from Amazon saying, hey, you have some stranded inventory. I send it to her. And most of the time, it's already been dealt with and fixed. But let me tell you, being a single operator, my wife and I, this just takes so much off our plates. I can't say enough about it. It's Solutions for E-Commerce, the number four, solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum to get 10% off her services. Be sure you tell her I sent you, solutionsforecommerce.com.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 184, Randy Reynolds. Randy was guest number 33 back in October of 2015. And what was so cool about his interview back then was the portfolio language that he used. And you'll hear some of that in the talk in this segment and then the second segment. But there's one of the smartest guys you're going to talk to. His background is extensive. He worked in a small business administration, so he really helped guide small businesses. And it's really served him well, and he's able to transfer that into this business. In this segment, we spend a lot of time talking about what's working and what he's doing and changes he's made. And it's just so fascinating. And I love talking with Randy. Let's get into the podcast. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. I am so excited to have tonight's guest, returning guest, Randy Reynolds. Welcome back, Randy.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You know, we have seen each other a whole bunch of times again as we were talking at the pre-show, and we're going to see each other again next week. We definitely travel in the same circle. Actually, I think we're going to see each other many times this year. We travel in the same circles. And you are a consummate networker. I mean, you really spend a lot of time traveling to grow, to work on your business. I mean, yeah, work on your business, not in your business. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Why so much, and what do you get from, you know, can you give me an example of something that's changed your game because you went to and met someone or talked with someone?
Well, even in getting into the list, it was through meeting Andy at some event somewhere. We got to know each other a little bit, and he's the one who introduced me to Curtis when we started that.
That's a great point. And how long have you guys been running the list now?
We're on our third year now.
Third year, incredibly successful. And it's four guys. It is you, Curtis Batdorf, David Hawkins, and Andy Slammons. And, you know, it's impressive. I've been in and out. You guys put out a ton of items. I mean, any clue how many items a week or a month?
Well, we say that we're going to put out, was it 50, but usually it's well beyond that each week.
And these are items that you're buying, physically purchasing yourself, right? That's the key to your group, is that you're putting out stuff that, hey, I'm investing in it too.
Right. We're sourcing for ourselves, and we're pulling items out of the things that we are sourcing. So these are things that, you know, we buy, and we put those onto the list.
And there's only 100 members, if I'm correct, right? And so that's you don't have to worry about it getting too diluted. And if you're putting out X number of items, not everybody can buy every one, and with limits and stuff. Now, are you still majority of your sourcing online?
Yes. The majority over the years, I think when we talked last time, we were headed in that direction.
Right.
And now we are for our arbitrage sourcing maybe 95% this time of year is online. It won't be until Q4 that we start going back into the stores a little more. But then we're changing the direction in the business, so we may not be going as much this Q4.
Well, I love, I know right where you're going, but I love the fact you're using the words we to describe your business. It's not me anymore, and maybe your daughter working a little bit now. There's a group of you now, isn't there?
Yes, it's my two daughters. One's part-time, the other's full-time. My wife works in the business, and we have VAs.
So this is really, you've really grown. I mean, you had an incredible business, but you've really grown.
Yeah, we've grown. It's been kind of surprised me from, you know, looking back. I left my job April 1st, 3 years ago.
Wow.
So I'm coming up on that anniversary, and I've been doing that for, I think, 2 years before.
Did you think you'd be running a multimillion-dollar business within 3 years? And it didn't take you that long to get there. But, I mean, did you think of that when you left?
When I left my job, I saw the potential. I definitely did not think I'd be doing it when I started the business. When I got started, I thought, okay, this is a hobby, or this is a way to make some extra money I can throw toward retirement, because, you know, the place that I worked, it was a state job, and we got, like, I think it was 2% total raise in 6 years.
Mm.
So I knew that retirement wasn't going to be great. I needed to do something about it. But when we went into our second Q4, I realized that I could actually do better at that than waiting around for retirement.
You know, you bring up a really good point. I hadn't thought about when you have a job and you're not getting a raise, right, due to market conditions, right? And let's face it, you know, think of all the retailers we're seeing right now contracting, right? Well, as they contract, that means it affects real estate, right? And real estate developers, that means it affects contractors, right? And that means suppliers to contractors, trucking, warehousing. I mean, it's all related, right? So it's there are massive industries being affected, and probably they're contracting. And by contracting, they might not be adding people if they leave, but the people there are probably not getting, you know, like you said, raises or very minimal over a long period of time. So 6 years. I believe that it's correct to say that actually, because of inflation and that, you're getting further behind. In that scenario, you lost money, right? Even though your pay didn't change relatively, but because the price of fuel and the price of everything else, you actually went further behind by staying there. Is that a fair statement?
That's true. And especially with our insurance, because it was through a state plan, every year they would increase the deductibles, increase the amount that we had to pay in. So that became a more expensive benefit, but they weren't making up for it with increasing the salary.
Right. So you're nickeled and dimed. And here's the other challenge, Randy, is that, as you're saying, you can't put away enough money for retirement. So those people that are sitting in those jobs making a modest salary, and I'm not putting them down, I get it. Yeah. They're not getting any further ahead, and they're waiting for, hey, I'm going to be able to retire. But you're going to retire on a small base, and you're going to be very far behind. So in Randy's case, he was able to pull out and say, I'm not going to participate. You walked away from a retirement, right? I'm assuming you're not going to get it.
I'll get a portion. It'll be much later and much smaller than
much smaller. Yeah. And so, but you're willing to, because you can make up for that. Well, you've already made up way more than you're ever going to. I mean, have you thought about how many years worth of income you've earned in the last year?
Oh, yeah. There's one time I looked at it and I said that I paid more in taxes than I took home the year before.
That's crazy.
You know, from when I worked at the job. And yeah, I forgot. When I was looking at making the decision to leave the job, I did the math on the retirement. It's a defined benefit plan through the state. So it was going to be based on my last 3 years' income. And since I hadn't gotten anything of a raise, I was assuming I wouldn't be for the remaining years. And I think the difference in retirement at that point calculated out to like $530 a month.
So
I would have been staying for an extra $530 a month. And of course I could have taken it sooner.
And right. With the same effect.
Yeah.
And so here you are right now, able to put away probably a little bit more than that $530 in, because it's in a privately owned business like you are, you can actually put some serious money away for retirement. So you get the tax benefit, right? So you could optimize that and actually be so much further ahead with what you're doing right now. And I gather, now you had a good job and it was enjoyable, but I'm gathering just from all the times we're together, you're having a little more fun.
I'm having a lot more fun. And, you know, a lot of times people wait to retirement so they can go do anything.
Hmm.
And you get to retirement, really don't have the money to do it. And I've had some friends that either they or spouses died soon after retirement.
Yeah. Oh, I see that. Trust me, this is very, very real for me, as I haven't announced anything yet. But so it's very, very real. And I sit there and I see the same thing. And, you know, you work so hard to enjoy, and it's going to happen. And as you say, all of a sudden somebody becomes sick, or life's yeah. happened even since you've opened your business. Hasn't life happened for you?
Oh, a lot has happened,
right?
And we were blessed with the business to be able to not worry financially when things happened in life. We had the money to take care of things and help where that help was needed.
Your partner, David Hawkins, was on not that long ago, and he said, you know, when their daughter was born, the best part of it was they had no concerns about money. I mean, they had no worries. It was the furthest thing from their mind because, you know, they put themselves in a great financial position. And so it just allowed them to make that moment that much better. You know what I mean? And just without worry. And that's incredible. I mean, that's a big statement to make at a time when a lot of people have an uncertain future right now. I mean, think about the people you work with, or just friends in general. Do most of them feel pretty secure about their future right now?
A lot of them probably do not. It depends on if you're talking about the circle of friends that are within the Amazon community. Yeah, a lot of them are very secure.
Yeah, yeah. Funny. That group, it's a different world. It really is.
Yeah. If I go into my real world, there's a lot of insecurity.
You know, it's funny. We're getting ready to go to another event. You and I will be together next week. And it's a different environment when you go there. There's no woe is me, at least in my experience. I don't run into woe is me. The world is ending. This isn't working, blah, 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 blah. I don't run into that. It's generally very positive. It's generally, hey, I have this challenge. Could you help with that? And then it's somebody else has a different, I've got an idea. And then all of a sudden they're helping somebody else. And then that next person is helping. It's almost like it's, you know, you're paying it forward and you get the results like almost immediately. That's been my experience. How about yours?
Yeah, it's been that way. A lot of what I've been able to do has been through other sellers helping me and teaching me and answering questions as I went along.
I just, you know, when you worked in the small business center, I know that was your goal, was to help people. But have you ever seen another industry where this kind of help occurs?
No. Normally competitors don't want to speak to each other.
So why is it though? Why do you think that this, because I've seen the good and the bad, right? I've seen people say, this is the most incredible thing. This is your result and my result too. But I've seen others say, oh my God, why would I help somebody else? They're just going to crush my business and my soul.
I think it has something to do with, one, the anonymity of the internet for the business itself.
Okay.
And that it's distanced. You're not sitting there in your storefront looking across the street at the guy in his storefront.
That's a great point. Yeah. He's got two extra cars in his parking lot. Oh man, put tacks in them, or nails in his parking lot, right?
Yeah. And it's like, I know very few people's seller names and I don't want to know them.
Right.
That way, if I'm looking at a competitor online, I say, man, this guy's stupid. I'm not thinking that I'm saying about somebody else.
Hey, you're not talking about me personally. Thank God Randy didn't see mine. Yeah. Oh, shoot. No, but it's a valid point. And I think that the other thing to consider is that the categories that you sell in are so different than the categories the guy standing next to you. Because you've met him at these things, and you meet these people who are selling millions of dollars, and they're selling T-shirts. And you're looking at them like, T-shirts? Really? Yeah. But that's their thing. I mean, I had somebody on the other day, and they were selling at one point millions of dollars of greenhouses.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Massive greenhouses. They were selling millions of dollars. I wouldn't even know how to tackle that. But that's what makes it so interesting, right? I mean, that was one of the best parts of the story was, I mean, it was just so cool to see. So your both daughters are in it, your wife and some VAs. Did you think with your daughters that, you know, I mean, I know every dad has a goal and this and that. Did you think this was their future? I mean, when you started getting into it and started seeing the joy and the things it brought you, was it a, hey, I could use their help kind of thing, or hey, they can use my help figuring out their thing?
Well, I think it was at the beginning, especially with my youngest, a I can use her help type thing. Mm-hmm. And she's really not into it as much as the other. She works. She's a great worker, but it's a job. My other daughter, this has actually worked out very well for her as she's become a single parent now. And it gives her the flexibility to be able to work when she needs to. She's very good at what she does. She handles almost all my buying now. And I think that it's built into a very good future for her.
Do you think, I just saw somebody from one of the other groups, from Sam Cohen's group, Ace. His main guy is going out on his own. He's going to strike it out on his own.
Jay.
And he's so talented. I mean, you know he's going to be successful. Do you feel like that should something happen and you decide to close your business or for whatever reason, it just, you know, whatever, that she's prepared? I mean, like you've given her a skill. You've shown her how to get the skill. Maybe I should say it that way. You didn't give it to her. That she can now fish for the rest of her life?
Oh, yeah, she can. With her, I actually had trained her to do this before I had hired her. And she had her own Amazon business, but the circumstances of life just did not work out that she could do it and just keep it going at the time. And she's in a position now where she prefers to have something that's like a steady paycheck. But she has the skills, and if I walked away from it, she could run it.
But so she doesn't have the responsibilities of the business like you have to carry, right? There's value in that, right? So she still gets to do what she's good at and loves, it sounds like, but without the responsibilities because she has other responsibilities, right?
Right.
That's a pretty cool, as a dad, you got to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
I love it. My younger son is in college and he's studying digital media. And one of the things is photography and product photography specifically. And I'm like, dude, I have so many friends who are dying for product photography. And so pay attention in college. But I'm so excited that he's doing a private label product for us right now. And it's so exciting to have him involved. It's a different approach to the relationship, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, has it drawn you guys closer in odd ways?
We spend a lot of time going over stuff together.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just, it's a different, you know, you're not the dad all the time, right? Then you're co-workers, I can't imagine you're the boss. You're probably more collaborative, right? It just, to me, at least in my experience with my son, is I'm seeing him, I guess, finally as a man, in a different way for me. I mean, how about you?
Yeah. Also, my children are older probably than yours.
Okay.
My baby's 26.
Ah, my baby's 20, so not too much older.
Okay. And Sarah, my older one, is, I think, 31 now.
Yeah, that's the older. My older one is 31.
So it's more of an adult relationship, and it's being able to trust somebody that you know is going to have your best interest without having to, you know, vet an employee and make sure. She has the codes to everything. She can do everything. I can say, this is kind of what I want. Go figure it out.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that part is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, will they handle the business while you're traveling and the fact that you're gone?
They handle a lot of it now.
That's awesome.
We spent a couple of weeks in Puerto Rico in January when it's like the worst around here because we wanted to get out. And we just, Then we spent.
It's a genius pro move right there. Let me just say this: that was a genius pro move on your part.
Yeah. Yeah, I like getting to where it's warm.
Oh, it's a smart move. Yeah.
But I can handle, you know, parts of it from a computer anywhere, which is one of the great things about the business. And the physical stuff is handled either by a prep center or my younger daughter, or we still, my older one would go off to the stores if there were things that needed to be bought, and I don't have to be here. They can deal with it.
That's awesome. I mean, that, you know, just that relief of knowing, especially capable hands, it just, and especially, like you said, it's family. So you don't have, there's also that trust, that blood trust. All right, let's do this. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that it figured very much into the way that we're restructuring this year, because I'm able to step back from a lot of what I was doing.
Wait, you're not retiring again. There's no chance.
Now, I'm not retiring, but I also, you know, I've told you before, I always kind of change what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we are looking at pulling back on RA and OA over the next year or two.
Wait, you know what? Let's do this. Let's take our break, because that's a perfect lead in, because I want to get to the portfolio approach too, which you're famous for. You're famous on Amazon, as Jeff Cohen would say. I want to make sure we talk about that. And I think it's, you know, it fits perfectly with what you're describing. So let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for inventory this time of year?
I have just the answer. It's called The List. Yep, that's it. The List. It's a premium sourcing service brought to you by Andy Slammons, where you get quality, actionable inventory from real sellers. These are million-dollar-plus sellers who bring you the finds in real time. Oh, and by the way, they're buying them themselves. Bring your business to the next level with The List. There are a few openings, but it's capped at 100, and they're so close, but you still can get in if you sign up now at thelistishere.com, thelistishere.com. Oh, and make sure you tell Andy I sent you.
This is one smart dude, isn't he? We really tackled the portfolio approach about his sourcing. I mean, he's taking the same approach to sourcing. There's also a comment in here about him and his wife going away and really evaluating their business every year. Are you stepping back and taking a real look at what you're doing? We talk about things that he's giving up, and even some of the things that he likes, but he can find somebody else who can do it, and he gets to try something different. I think there's just so much value in this episode. I would listen to it again. If you've not listened to his first episode, go back and listen to it to give the perspective, but then listen to this a couple times. I think there's so much value, and you could grow just like he is, and I think that's just so important. Let's go back into the podcast. All right, we're back, and we're talking with Randy Reynolds. And Randy was first on the show, episode number 33, in October of 2015. His story is there. It's such a great story, because he brought, education, but real business experience from others' business into his business. And he's had wild success, more, as you said, wild success, more success than you ever imagined, especially in your first year. It's just awesome. But what I loved about your first interview, and I've quoted it so many times, is you were the one that coined the phrase with me about using a portfolio approach for your optimal inventory mix. And by, you know, looking at things that ebb and flow, right? So, you know, if you're buying stocks, it's almost the same concept, right? You're buying in different industries. So when one's waxing, the other one's waning, you know, you can, right, you can ebb and flow. And you took that approach to your inventory mix, and you had an incredible success. And now you're talking about possibly changing or using a mixed approach to sourcing?
Yes. Every year my wife and I take several days. I probably have told you this before.
Yep.
We have our annual retreat, and we looked at the numbers and realized that we are just too heavy in one sourcing area and too dependent on the .com. So we kind of put plans in place to diversify both our sourcing mix and our marketplace or platform mix. To be able to do that, that's where my daughters come in, is I have to be able to step back from a lot of the stuff that goes on daily in the business, or I just don't have time to think about the expansion.
Well, it's the e-commerce, the e-myth guys. You've got to work on the business, not in the business, right? You can't work in the business and work on the business successfully. It's very, very difficult to do both.
Yes, which I have found over and over again.
Yeah, I'm guilty.
So we had looked this year at the two different things that we were looking expanding into is private label and wholesale. And for one person to be able to do that is impossible. At least I think it's very difficult to do both at the same time, mm-hmm. just starting out. So what we're doing is my daughter, who does most of our sourcing, she is learning the wholesale and working that. My wife and I are doing the private label.
Well, pause a second for your daughter on the wholesale. It's very similar in concept to an OA buy, right? Once you establish the relationship, right?
Right.
Once you have that account with XYZ or the Acme calendar company, I'm looking at a calendar on my wall, right? Once you have that relationship, then it's really data mining through that inventory to find profitable things and all the tools that you could use. You know, there's just a myriad of them, right?
Yep.
She's already mastered that in many ways if she's been doing the online data mining, correct?
Right. She understands most of the tools. She had to learn like Price Checker 2 and some other, and Jungle Scout. But those have been coming to her. And she's also very good about not being afraid to talk to anybody, not being afraid to sell anything.
Hmm.
So
where's that come from?
I don't know.
I mean, was she that kind of a kid or did it come out?
Well, she's a firstborn and she has kind of that outgoing, take charge, firstborn attitude. I think at least that's what we've called it.
Well, that's fair when I think about mine too. Yep. That's it. Fair.
When we first moved to North Carolina, it was at the height of the Beanie Baby craze. And she got us to go take her around to stores and buy Beanie Babies. She would go on eBay. Now, she was 12 years old at the time. And she would buy Beanie Babies. And she set up a little stand because we lived off a little highway. She set up a Beanie Baby stand and sold them there.
No kidding.
And I remember seeing people come by and literally spend $500.
Are you kidding?
With a 12-year-old kid.
Oh, my God. So that skill set has come full circle, right? That ability to talk to others and the ability to handle and to negotiate, right? Because a lot of wholesale, and I think it's hard for people to understand, when they say this is the price and this is the shipping, that's not necessarily true for everyone, right?
Right.
You've got to negotiate, right? You've got to talk about what works because ultimately they need you to be successful to come back and buy again and again and again, right?
Right.
That's awesome. That's perfect, perfect planning on by letting her do at 12 to get her ready to go 19 years later. Man, that's the long game, Randy. You were playing the long game there, weren't you?
Yep. Well, now we got her in the wholesale formula. She's going through that.
Which is a great program. That's exactly where you'll learn. And the Price Checker 2 is their thing. Yep, that's a great one. Okay, so that's working. And so she's all in on that. And that allows you to not have to get involved in that very much?
I don't have to get involved in the contacting, the running numbers. And we're to the point where we're looking at some things together. But she's able to make decisions. She knows how to make buying decisions. It's just on a larger scale.
And I mean, did you guys collaboratively come up with the parameters? You know, hey, I need you to, you know, make sure that you're not spending more than this amount. Make sure the rank is about this. Make sure there's this many sellers. Make sure the profit is about this. Is that the conversation?
Well, she understands the rank and such, and she works over at our house occasionally and then sometimes over at hers. But we're on, Facebook chat?
Oh, okay.
We can go back and forth. But on the regular buying stuff, she knows what our parameters are because I've taken her with me to the stores.
So she knows the pattern.
She's been trained in the store to shop. Now we're getting a little better with some of the stores that we shop from. We're running lists and looking at what's sold in the past so she can go in with a shopping list.
Much more efficient. Do you, is your goal with the wholesale business trying to get replenishable, limit the number of SKUs, not necessarily go super wide? I know, go wide, not deep, that whole thing. But, there are people that have less than 100 SKUs that do millions of dollars in sales. So have you thought about that?
Yeah, I've thought about it. What we're really looking at it is to be able to scale the business, because without taking on shoppers and such, it's difficult to scale an OARA business beyond a certain point. And I really don't want to go out hiring other people in. I mean, there's some folks that do it and it's great for them. But for me, I've been in a position where I've had bunches of employees and I don't really want to go back there, because then it stops being fun. And, I'll be 59 this year and I want things I do to be fun.
Yeah, you want less of a hassle, right? I mean, that's really a big deal, that, that stuff, with people do come hassles. And so if you can get to that place where you don't have to deal with that stuff, I'm with you, man. That is my theory on life. I want less hassles. Yes. Okay, so the wholesale side seems to be a great plan. And, here's the thing that you said something. You didn't use this phrase, but you invested in the wholesale formula.
Yes.
I mean, you spent the money. I mean, that's one thing I've noticed about you, Randy, is that you're not afraid to spend money for investment purposes. I've seen you do a whole bunch of things. You joined a whole bunch of, you were in Sam's group. You were in a whole bunch of places. You spent money to learn, didn't you?
Yes. Because in this business, the numbers that we run through, it doesn't really take that much to pay it back.
Right.
And, I'll never forget when I first started in the business and there were Facebook groups, and I saw some guy wrote about how he wasn't spending $50 to learn what he could learn through trial and error on his own. I thought, man, that was one of the stupidest things. Actually, he was a little ruder in what he said they could kiss if they thought he'd give them $50. But I thought that was like one of the stupidest business statements I've ever heard.
You think about, in your corporate career, how many seminars we used to spend. Oh my God,
what did it cost?
$25,000 to go to this one. That was what we did. And then it became expected. I was a CFO for a long time and we would have CFO conferences. You'd fly 100 of us from around the country in for, 5 days of meetups and parties and stuff like that. I mean, it cost fortunes.
Yeah.
I remember I worked for Disney at one time and they flew us, I think there were 120 of us, for a 15-minute meeting. We all flew to above Detroit and it was a 15-minute meeting on strategic planning. And it was like, that was it. I'm like, oh my God, can you imagine how much it costs? And so to invest in your business is probably a pretty good. Do you get more from those now than you do from networking at this point?
Networking is still good because I think it helps me also have a network of people that I can ask things. So there really does need to be a balance between the two.
It's a valid point. And it also, though, when you network, you find out about these other courses and these other things to like, oh, here's how I dealt with that. Whoa, I didn't even know that existed, right?
Right. And I found out through networking, that maybe some area or something was interesting to look into. And then I bought information on how to do it.
Yeah. That's so smart. We're talking to a multimillion dollar seller who has figured it out. Pretty humble about it, but I love the fact that you're willing to put your money where your mouth is, and you're not shy about that. All right, so on the private label side, what's your approach there?
Well, that's what we're just getting into. I got Andy's course, actually, and my wife is going through a different course, so we're looking at the contrasting the two.
Oh, interesting.
And we're just going to go forward with it. Most of this, I have just really started getting into it because most of the beginning of the year, and we had planned it this way, was trying to get more systems in place to get me to be able to step back from more and more things.
And how'd that work for you, working on processes?
it's been working very well. So there are still some that aren't quite there yet, but we're almost on schedule for all the things we wrote down that I shouldn't be doing anymore.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about adding some value here. This is a very, you know, sophisticated seller who's been selling for a while, but he's having incredible success. And most people don't know, you know, you keep your head down and you just do the work. Can you give us the approach you took to start looking at your processes? I mean, how do you go about getting your arms around that?
Well, the first thing is we kind of just made a list of all the tasks that I was doing. And I don't even remember where I had seen somebody had, it was probably at a seminar that I saw this. And then we started looking at the tasks that, of those, what could somebody else do? And, you know, which things were critical for me to be doing for the success of the business, and which things could be trained to someone else, or should I pay somebody else? Because I will outsource something in a minute too.
Does that mean you failed because you didn't want to do it again anymore?
No, it means that I've become more successful because I'm not wasting my time, which is my limited commodity, to do something that maybe is not returning what my time is worth.
But does that mean you have to give up some things that you kind of enjoy? And how do you give that up?
I find other things that I enjoy.
Okay. Well, it's because, you know, I mean, think about it. You know, some people, there's the parts of this business that they love more than anything, but that doesn't mean they should be doing it.
Yeah. And really, to me, this is a business. It's not a hobby. So I can give up anything that is not going to be profitable for me to be doing.
And you look at it that way. That's pretty cut and dry for you.
Yeah. I enjoy doing it, but it's nothing that I have to be doing. I'd rather be, you know, hanging out somewhere.
In Puerto Rico, for God's sake, in cold weather. Hello. Yeah, that's tough to take.
Yeah, it's nice to go down there in January.
So this is really a big change for you, but it's a calculated change, right? Is it like the ocean liner making a turn, right? It's not an immediate 90 degrees, right? It's a, hey, we're starting the turn, but we are turning. There's no doubt in my mind. You're turning. You're not thinking about turning. You're turning, but it's calculated.
Right. I hadn't thought of it that way before, but I guess it's sort of like what they in the Navy called emergency breakaway, where you'd have I'd be on the aircraft carrier and the ship next to it was doing the underway replenishment. And then they'd have an emergency breakaway drill and everything would drop and the two ships would change course by like a degree.
1 degree. Woo!
But think of it, if you have two ships that are like 50 feet apart that are really long, if they just cranked it over, they'd hit.
Right, right.
But it's like barely perceptible, but over time, they're completely apart.
Well, yeah, right. 1 degree on that length or depth would make you really far apart. I think that's a great analogy. I love the fact that you know this about your business. I'm telling you, Randy, man, you're killing it. So portfolio approach, you're mixing up your sourcing portfolio. Are you mixing up your inventory category portfolio going forward?
Yeah. Well, we've been mixing it up. Like I told you before, we're headed into shoes and shoes became a big part of our business. Mm-hmm. So now it's probably time to diversify a little more. Toys has really dropped off, except during Q4, and next year we may not even be super heavy into them for Q4. I think I may want to be more gift ideas, gift stuff to stay. I guess we're changing the balance of it as we go.
Do you find that you're changing the balance faster? Is it accelerating? Or again, are you just getting smarter? I don't know if that's the right word. Are you just getting more, you're able to recognize things, you're getting more fine-tuned and you're more savvy, might be a better word.
I think it's more fine-tuning. I'm finding things that I have a better feeling about what sells well, and I'm able to convey that to my daughter who's doing the buying. We're getting better at watching what we've already purchased because we, for a long time, were the typical OARA, go out there and just keep sourcing, but never stop to think, you know, the stuff we bought last week sold really well. Maybe we should go look for some more.
Buy more of that, right? I always tell that for fourth quarter, you've already know what to buy. Don't go looking for new things to buy. Just find your existing inventory and buy more of it, right? That makes perfect sense.
Right. And my wife had been hammering that into me every year, and I think we finally gotten to the point where we're actually doing it to some degree.
What is her skill set relative to your skill set? How do you separate the two?
Well, she's mostly responsible for anything to do with eBay. And though we are scaling back the eBay business and she's spending more time on learning the private label, eBay is one of the things that we're diversifying more into. When we're sourcing for wholesale, we also are now looking more towards stuff that we can take over with Joe Lister and kind of automate it onto eBay. We're out of the go to thrift store and yard sale to bring something back here mode.
I love when you create a listing on eBay and you put 32 items and it's a vending machine. That was the way it was described to me when the light bulb went up for me. They're like, Steve, this is a vending machine. Just replenish the vending machine. I'm like, I get it.
Right? So that's it. And that's the direction that we're going with the eBay. We're still selling off our old stuff and things that have value that are Amazon returns. We may sell on eBay, but that's it.
Right. And now, are you're fulfilling them yourselves then?
Yeah, there's some that's being fulfilled ourselves, and that's the part that we really don't like.
Right.
Because it causes a problem, like we're going off to Prosper and...
Right. Who's going to shut down? Yeah, you got to shut down your business for a few days. I'm in that boat, right? I'll be closing all my stuff down. I mean, it's a hassle. Yeah. It is a hassle.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Joe Lister stuff just goes cranking on.
Right. Right. That's a smart observation. I love the portfolio story. And if this resonates with you at all, if you're thinking, wow, this is really, you got to go back and listen to his whole, his point of view on it in the first interview. It will blow your mind because it was so clear. I remember the way you described it. I don't want to lose, because we're going to wrap it up, but I want to make sure I give the list a fair shot. Andy's one of my sponsors. Everybody knows that. I don't hide that. Andy's part of the list. There are four guys. It's you, Curtis, Andy, and, David Hawkins. I just drew a blank for a second there. I was thinking of his daughter, actually. And what's very cool to me is you are an online buyer, but Curtis is an in-store buyer. I mean, I know he does online too, but he is the perfect in-store buyer. David, in-store buyer. Andy's both. It just fascinates me to see, you know, the point of view from looking online and then looking in the store, because it is a different buying opportunity, isn't it?
Yes, that's very different. And sometimes I go into the store, I haven't been in there for a while, I feel lost.
Well, Curtis lives in the store. Curtis knows them better than everyone. I mean, he knows every angle. I mean, and I know his stories. He doesn't live that far from me here. And it blows my mind, the knowledge that he has. And they transfer that. I guess that's one of the cool things about the list. And I don't benefit. I mean, I make sure everybody understands it. They don't pay me any affiliate fees or anything like that. Andy's a sponsor of my show, regardless. I don't benefit. The 3 years you guys have been doing it to me, and you know, I think David told me how many, there was a huge number of the original people are still with you guys. 3 years.
Yeah, we have a lot of them that are on like the annual plan. We sell an annual plan.
How much is the annual plan? You know, I was going to ask, and you're going to be like, Curtis.
I don't know. Curtis.
All right. Well, I'll have a link to it. You still have a couple openings, right? You'll take a few, or you put them on a waiting list, whichever. If there's a way you're thinking about, you know, looking for a real strong sourcing opportunity, this could be the one. Because when you can build you build a relationship. And somebody was asking me the other day, and I'm like, look, they're going to teach you what to buy. But then you're going to, it's like the light bulb goes on. You're going to be like, oh, I never thought. And then all of a sudden it's like, then you're going to see these similar things. You're learning how to fish in essence, right? You're not just giving them fish. You're teaching them to fish.
That's correct. And one of the things I think really sets us apart is that we run a parallel Facebook group. So if somebody has a question about what we posted, because we put our names on everything we post.
Right. So if they're not happy with your buy, they get to call you out on it, right?
Right. And if they have a question about something or, you know, well, why did you do that? We have a place where they can go and ask us. So we stay engaged with the people. It's not just like something that comes in their email box and they really can't have any answers or, you know, ask questions on it.
And what I love that happens too is they're like, hey, Randy, I saw this. Thanks. Did you see this next to it? And I'm sure you're like, no, I missed that. And you're like, whoa, hey, get on the phone, get over there, get those things. Yeah. But that's the way it should work though. It's that, and then all of a sudden your horizons get a little more expanded. All right. The site is thelistishere.com, right? Thelistishere.com. And that's where they can sign up. And he'll deal with Curtis and he'll tell you the price. I think the prices are all there,
for everything. There.
Yeah. Okay. Man, Randy, I can't wait to see you next week, to talk more. I'm fascinated to see how the wholesale business takes off. There's no doubt in my mind, all that planning 19 years ago, the long game that you started, is paying off for you and more importantly for her. And to me, you know, as a dad, you know, you're leaving a legacy when you can, I mean, that's to me, you know, think about that, right? You could send them to college and that's awesome. I mean, I went to college and my boys went to college, but the fact that you've taught them this unbelievable skill is probably going to be one of the biggest things. I mean, it's like the guy who makes musical instruments, teaching that skill, that craft, almost a craft. That's a big deal, dude. I mean, you should feel really good as a dad. You really should. It's awesome. You know, the goal of the podcast is to help people move forward, right? And so I think, you know, your portfolio approach, I hope that just expands their boundaries and gets them thinking about a different way of looking at their business. But give us something that you think somebody can take and put into their business tomorrow to help them move forward.
I think that everyone needs to step back from their business for a day every once in a while. And look at what worked and look at what didn't work and look at where you want to go and kind of make some plans and some directional changes. Because I know that I found before we started doing that, that we were just working. I really couldn't tell where I was headed. And you can be a lot more productive if you see what isn't working, get rid of it and try some new things.
Love it. You know, that's a Bill Gates approach, right? Every year he'd go away and he would look at white papers about their business and study it and then make decisions and come back with a real plan. And I can't argue with Microsoft's success. I think it worked well for him. And so I think it's going to work really well for the Reynolds clan. Man, I thank you so much. I wish you nothing but success. Can't wait to see you. Take care.
Hey, thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.